I'd like to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 19. Genesis, chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it, the ground, was thou taken. Referring to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. In this verse, we have a declaration of God's way of disposing of the deceased. We see that in the words, till thou return unto the ground. And God's method of decomposition, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. I want to speak tonight on the subject of burial or cremation. We preached on this about 9 years ago. That's been long forgotten by most, but we'll want to look at this subject of burial or cremation. Cremation in the United States is increasing dramatically in both real numbers and percentage each year. From 1934 to 1938, cremations were at about 2.5%. From 1960 to 69, they went from 3.5% to 4.5%, which is not a huge growth at all. From 1970 to 1979, they went from 4.5% to 9.4%. So in that decade, they doubled. From 1980 to 1989, cremations went from 9.4 to 16.3% nationwide. From 1990 to 99, cremations went from 16.3% to 25%. And from 2000 to 2009, they went from 25% to 38%. And in 2012, they were at 43.2%, with a projected 49.4% rate by 2016 and a projected 58% by 2021. Michigan is ahead of the national average. In 2010, Michigan was at 47.3%. That is, 47.3% of people who died in Michigan in 2010 were, 47% of them were cremated. These percentages, of course, will continue to increase as people continue to reject biblical Christianity and adopt more and more New Age thinking. And New Age thinking is nothing more than ancient Hinduism and Buddhism in a different set of clothes. That's all it is. And many who profess to be saved have adopted New Age thinking. Most people, though, are choosing cremation because of economics. Others have been convinced that cremation is the way to go for environmental reasons. Sadly, human reasoning, cultural acceptance, economic and environmental factors have come to be a determining factor in what is right or wrong when it comes to funeral procedures rather than what does the Word of God have to say. But for every child of God, the issue should always be, what does the Bible say? Economics doesn't matter. Environmental doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? And sadly, more and more preachers are making such statements that it does not really matter whether you're buried or cremated because the Bible really doesn't have anything to say upon that matter. Well, I find that quite a erroneous statement. It's really quite a strange statement. I would find it hard to believe that God doesn't have anything to say about death, about the burial of the deceased. I would find that hard to believe. If I just was walking off the street and heard someone make that statement, it would be hard for me to believe that God doesn't have something to say about how we handle the deceased. So in this message, we want to consider whether or not cremation is a viable alternative to burial based upon the teaching of the Word of God. So first of all, we'll look at cremation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But cremation, of course, comes from the Latin word cremo, which means simply to burn. To burn. And refers, of course, to the burning of the deceased. This is done typically between the temperatures of 1400 and 2100 degrees Fahrenheit. The body is almost completely consumed, and the cremated remains consist fragments of bones and particles, usually weigh from 4 to 8 pounds. These fragments are then and particles are then ground or pulverized into granule form. The entire process takes 3 to 5 hours. The ashes that can be removed, not all the ashes can be removed, but the ashes that can be removed from the crematory are placed in a small box or an urn. And because ashes from different bodies, other bodies, have been mixed in with that, funeral homes publish a disclaimer in reference to that fact. In other words, grandpa's ashes may not be the only ashes you have. And funeral home, there's always a disclaimer for that. Historically, cremation, of course, like many things, is pagan. It's found in unbelief. Founded in paganism. It's a heathen custom. In other words, it's a practice of people who do not have the Word of God or else have rejected the authority of the Word of God. Again, it is the common practice of Hinduism, Buddhism. Neither of those religions, of course, believe in the resurrection. They both believe in reincarnation. Now, believing in reincarnation, you want to dispose of the body quickly. Because the more quickly you dispose the body, the quicker the next incarnation takes place. So that's the basis of that. The question is, should God's people emulate such a practice? Cremation also more so today. I mean, most people are cremated, know nothing of Buddhism or Hinduism. But cremation is also the choice of secular humanism. And this is where our society, again, most people, you can say it's pagan in origin, and a lot of that's foolishness. But it comes down to, it is really a choice of secular humanism. And during the 60s and the 70s, of course, many changes took place in our culture, and a lot of social instability. And it was all fueled by, whether people realize it or not, it was all fueled by secular humanism, which is what our schools have been teaching for decades. One of the doctrines that stem from secular humanism is that of human autonomy. By that, we simply mean that my body belongs to me and I can do with it whatever I please. Well, that's first of all, that's false. But that comes from secular humanism. What else has come from the reasoning of humanism is the barbaric ritual of abortion. The lady will say, lady using the term loosely, the female will say, it's my body. Well, truth is, it's not. It's the baby's body. It's two separate bodies. But that's another message. But we, because of secular humanism, we have the ritual of abortion. But also coming from this false concept, it's my body, I can do with what I want, is cremation. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, I'm not putting cremation in the same category as abortion. But they both come from the same thing, and that is humanism. The tattooing of the body, same thing, comes from secular humanism. It's my body, I can do with it what I want. It's all based on a false concept. The question that we need to concern ourselves with, of course, is, does the Bible approve of cremation? What does the Bible have to say? And until the last few decades, cremation was looked upon as something that basically was practiced by atheists or those who were just totally ignorant of God's word. Today, it is accepted and it is approved by many who profess to be saved, and it's even encouraged by so-called churches and church leaders. The question is there scriptural warrant for cremation? And that's an important question, because God's people are to take the Bible as their rule of faith, as their sole authority of faith, as that is to what they believe and what they practice or what they do. In the Bible, burning is a sign of judgment. It's a sign of abomination. We're not going to turn to all these scriptures. We will be looking at a lot of scriptures when it comes to burial. In Genesis 19, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. In Exodus 32 and verse 20, Moses destroyed the golden calf by burning it. In Leviticus 21 and verse 9, the daughter of an Old Testament priest who became a prostitute, she was to be burned, not stoned, not hung. She was to be burned. In Numbers 16:35, God exterminated Korah, 250 Israelite men with fire because they opposed Moses. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 25, God commanded that the idols of pagan gods be destroyed with fire. In the book of Amos, chapter 2, let's turn there. Amos, chapter 2, and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. God punished the king of Moab for burning the bones of the king of Edom. In the book of Acts, chapter 19 and verse 19, sorcerers who were saved brought their scrolls, their books of witchcraft, and they burned them. Revelation 20, verse 15. All of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life are cast into the lake of fire. But people will argue for cremation, not from a scriptural basis. They will argue from economics. Some will argue from environmental reasons. They have no scriptural argument. And anytime you base your arguments on economics or environment, that's worldly thinking. That's worldly reasoning. Some will argue that God will raise the bodies of the deceased no matter how they are disposed of. And that's true. That's not the issue. Anytime someone says it, that's not the issue. We all know that. God is going, whether you be eaten by a whale, God's going to raise that body. No matter how we die and no matter what happens to our bodies, God's going to raise the body. No, we're not questioning that. So that's comparing apples and oranges. That's not the issue. Many try to scripturally justify cremation. They'll say, well, the Bible does say, and I just heard this a couple of weeks ago at a conference, the Bible does say dust to dust and ashes to ashes. No, it doesn't. It does not. Nowhere in the Bible does it say dust to dust, ashes to ashes. That phrase is not anywhere in Scripture. So, where does that phrase come from? Well, it's found in some pastors' manuals that many so-called ministers use to officiate at burials. But it's not in the Bible. So anytime someone says, well, the Bible says ashes to ashes, no, it doesn't. It does not say that. I mean, you get on your computer and look, it doesn't say it. Nowhere. You cannot argue scripturally. So it's not found anywhere in the inspired Word of God, and there is nothing Christian. There is absolutely nothing Christian about cremation. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. That brings us to burial. Back in our text, Genesis 3, verse 19, God taught burial in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, verse 19, God taught burial. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. That's burial. And then he goes on, for out of it wast thou taken, out of the ground, making reference to Genesis 2 and verse 7, the creation of man. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's God's order. That's God's way of decomposition. So what did God mean there in Genesis 3, verse 19. Again, it means that man's body, which is of the dust of the earth, is to return to the earth when he dies. And when we lay the body in a grave, according to Genesis 3, verse 19, it returns to earth in the natural way, or by an act of God, it again turns to dust. That's God's way. Whereas cremation is an act of man. That is the act of man. There is but one Christian way to dispose of our dead, and that's burial. That's the only scriptural way to dispose of the deceased. God commanded Israel to bury their dead. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verse 22 and 23. Here is a man who has committed a crime, and he has died by hanging. But notice what God says. And if a man hath committed a sin, verse 22, worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Now we're talking about a criminal here. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that hanged is accursed of God. But the reason they were to bury that individual and not leave him on the tree, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now what we have here is, again, the final disposition of a body is not a matter of indifference. They were not to leave that body upon a tree. And for all these people today say, well, it doesn't matter, they're dead. It does matter. This is not a matter of indifference. All through the Word of God, we see that respect is to be shown to the body. Why? Because God created it. It's handmade by God. And we see even over the criminal, he was not to be left upon that tree through the night. So it was not to be a matter of indifference. In other words, it does matter. It does matter. It matters whether or not you're cremated or buried. It doesn't matter in eternity. And it's not going to matter in the resurrection. But it does matter. God has something to say about it. Some people will say, well, you can just put my body in a garbage bag and put it out on the curb. Well, that's not the way. That's disrespect. So let's look at burial throughout the Bible. You know, people will say that funerals are a morbid custom. I disagree. I disagree 150%. It's not so. Funerals are a biblical custom. We see them all through the Word of God. I think, this is my opinion, we are going to, in very short time, have some serious, not that we don't already, some serious mental issues. Because people today are getting away from funerals. They cremate their loved ones and then a year later have a memorial service. I believe that's going to cause problems. That's just my opinion. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Verses 8 through 10. We have Abraham. Now we're going to look at several verses, so we'll just pick out parts in these verses. But in verse 8, Abraham gave up the ghost. He died in a good old age, an old man, full of years. That means full of life. He lived a full life. And was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael. And it is the family's responsibility to bury their loved ones. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave. Verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried. Seems to me that he had purchased a burial ground. And it was in that ground that he was buried. Then it goes on to say, and Sarah, his wife. Husbands and wives ought to be buried together. They ought to be buried together. You have Rachel, Genesis 35, verses 19 and verse 20. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. It's what we call a tombstone. People say, well, I don't believe in tombstone. Well, there's scriptural basis for it. And set a pillar upon her grave, and that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Verse 29. The same chapter, we have the example of Isaac. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons. There it is again. That's twice now. Abraham's sons, Isaac's sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. We have the example of Jacob. Notice in Genesis chapter 49 and also Genesis 50. But in Genesis 49, verse 33, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. His father's dead. Verse 2, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel, or Jacob. In verse 5, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Again, plans had been made concerning his burial. Just as Abraham seems like he had bought a piece of land for his burial, we see the same here. And then we go down to the latter part of verse 5. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father. And bury my father. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father. Three times in verse 5, 6, and 7. Bury his father. Emphasis is laid upon this burial. In verse 13, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field. Then we have Moses. It was God who buried Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, chapter 34. In verse 6, verse 5 says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. Notice Joshua 24. We have the example of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verses 29 in verse 30. It came to pass after these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. In verse 33, we have the example of Eleazar. Well, let's read verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. Verse 33, we have Eleazar. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to his son. Again, not only were they buried, but it seems that many of them had made a plan where they would be buried, and it seemed fairly important where they're buried. Now again, when it comes to resurrection, it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter one iota where you're buried. But it shows respect. It shows respect. A burial place, a particular burial place. We have the example of Joshua, which we just read there in Joshua 24, and Eleazar in Joshua 24. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 25, we have the example of Samuel. 1 Samuel 25, verse 1, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him. That's a funeral. And buried him in his house at Ramah. So again, we have another example of a burial. We have the example of David, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. In the city of David. Then notice John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Again, reading with verse 10. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger or a dish and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body. And they did so with great respect and great care. They took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. They took up the body and buried it. They had a funeral. We have the example of Lazarus. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 34. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the gate, the grave. They buried Lazarus. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5. We see this account in verses 5 through 10. Again, we're not going to read all of that, but we'll pick out parts that we want here. In verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. He died suddenly. Verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. They took care of the body, and they buried him. Verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, same ones, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. We have Stephen, Acts chapter 8. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. It was at a funeral procession that Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain. It was in the casket. They were getting ready to bury him. Then, of course, we have the example of Christ in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through verse 60. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Again, he very tenderly prepared that body for burial, showing no disrespect to the body whatsoever, and laid it in his own new tomb. The angel said to the women who had come to the tomb of Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 6, come see the place where the Lord lay, where he was, where his body was. Jesus Christ is our example. He's our example in life. He's our example in death. And that should be sufficient. Also in the Bible, they buried the deceased even when it was difficult to do so. Most people today, again, go the cremation route because of economics, or convenience. The Old Testament, they buried the deceased even when it was very, very difficult. Joseph. Joseph's body was kept for over 40 years in Egypt, carried through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, before being buried in the promised land. Notice Genesis 50, if we go back there. Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 and 25. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. It was important where they buried him. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And then notice in Exodus 13, verse 19, Exodus 13, verse 19, we have Joseph in a coffin. Verse 19, and Moses took up the bones of Joseph with him. As Israel is leaving Egypt, Moses did not leave that body behind. Moses took up the bones that was in that coffin with him. And then notice if we go to Genesis 20, or Joshua 24 again, still talking about Joseph. His bones now are in this coffin. Joshua 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground. That wasn't the convenient thing to do. To carry that casket all those, and watch over that body all those years. But that's what they did. To be in the Bible, to be not given a proper burial, was considered to be a great tragedy. It's considered a great dishonor. In 1 Kings 13 and verse 22, a prophet disobeyed God, and God laid a curse upon him. And the curse was that his body would not be buried in the tombs of his fathers. As you read on, that prophet was attacked by a lion, and his remains were just simply left on the road. That was his curse, that he would not be buried with his fathers. In Jeremiah 16, if we turn there, Jeremiah 16, God laid a curse on the Israelites. And notice in verse 4, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the fence of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. There will be no funeral for these men. This was a curse. This wasn't God's instruction on how it should be done. This was a curse upon these Israelites for not obeying God. In Jeremiah chapter 22, God laid a similar curse upon Jehoiakim because of the pride and disobedience of his heart. In Jeremiah 22 and verse 19, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass or a mule, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. That is, he dies, you take him out to the garbage dump and you throw his body just like you would a mule. It's a curse. The Bible has much to say about burial. And a lot of God's people have bought into humanism and saying it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter as far as the resurrection is concerned. But it does matter. Because God has much to say upon this subject. So I believe not to bury our deceased loved ones is a dishonor. It's a dishonor. It shows great disrespect. It is a dishonor to God. It is a dishonor to the sanctity of the human body. It is a dishonor to the memory of our loved ones. We honor our dead by burial. It disgusts me today. And I may be weird, there's probably no question about that, but go to a funeral home today. There's no respect. There's very little respect the way people show up at a funeral home today. It's pitiful. We are to honor. We are to honor our dead, our deceased. We're to honor them. And that's why I believe, just as I believe, not just anybody should get married in a church, I don't believe just anybody should be buried. Have a funeral in a church as well. It's a different subject. Cremation shows no respect, no regard for God's way. It shows no regard or respect for the dignity and the sanctity of the human body. We read in Romans 14 and verse 8, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You say, that body is dead, it doesn't matter. It does matter, it's the Lord's. It's God's body. He created it. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And we are not to show disrespect to a deceased body. We had a man in Chicago that we loved dearly, very faithful to the church, left services on a Wednesday night, had a heart attack on his way home. He was dead by the time he hit the telephone pole, but he was in a bad part of town, and the people had already robbed his body. I don't know if I've ever been more angry, but people show disrespect for the deceased. There's nothing right about it, no matter what level of disrespect it is. Now, someone may argue, well, we have our loved one cremated, and we're going to bury their ashes. Therefore, it's not wrong. But it is. Because, you see, decomposition isn't your job. Genesis 3, verse 19 again. God's way is it returns to the ground and it turns to dust. You can take those ashes and do whatever you want with them. It's still not the same thing. Decomposition is not your business. God has already established how that works. And then lastly, burial is required for typology. For typology to be accurate, and what's the use of having a type if it's not accurate? For typology to be accurate, there has to be burial. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, the next time someone asks you, well, what does it matter if I buried a cremation? Don't say, well, in my opinion, burial. The Word of God teaches burial. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36 through verse 38. Thou fool, that which thou sowest, plant in the ground, is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body. Now he's talking about sowing a human body or burying a human body. When you sow a seed, what do? You bury it. You cover it with dirt. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest, that body that you put in the ground, thou sowest not that body that shall be. That body is going to be something else. Just like when you plant that seed, it's going to be something else. It's not going to be that seed that you planted, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now again, I'm very much aware that whether you bury the ashes or whether a human body is ever found, it's been devoured by beasts, I'm very much aware that God is going to raise it up. But we have a type here. If it is possible to bury a body, that's what we're to do. It's like seed going into the ground. It's a type. Then notice in verse 42 through verse 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Again, the sowing of the seed. It is sown in corruption. Again, it's not the same body that it's going to be. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Again, it is sown. It's repeated over and over and over and over again. That's burial. That's burial. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We go to the cemetery. Our loved one is put in the ground. We know that that person is not being buried. We know that. And that needs to be emphasized. And I emphasize that every cemetery service, that we are not burying the person. We are burying the house that they lived in. But we know that that body that we're burying is going to come out of that grave a different body than what went in. But it's the type is planting a seed. And that's what we have here in Genesis 15. We've run out of time, but you read Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. The typology of baptism is based upon a burial. Burial is important. What we do with the deceased is important. I believe with all of my heart, not just my opinion, but based upon the Word of God, that cremation is wrong. It's wrong. Is it going to affect you in eternity? No, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Would you preach cremation? I have preached many cremations. I preach a funeral to preach the gospel. I don't like preaching a cremation service. Don't like it at all. But I'll preach the gospel. I've preached the Catholic funerals. It's an opportunity to preach the gospel. I believe that cremation, though, does go against the Word of God. I believe burial is the biblical method. And no amount of reasoning about the shortage of burial space, or we're running out of ground, and all the high costs of funerals can change what the Word of God says. And I believe the Word of God is very plain. The question of cremation is not scripturally debatable. You cannot scripturally debate cremation. You talk to anybody on cremation, they're going to talk about economics or environment. And if that's all you got as a child of God, you ought to be ashamed. Philippians 2, verse 20, we are challenged to exalt Jesus Christ in our bodies, whether by life or by death. We are to exalt Jesus Christ. Again, many will say that funerals are a morbid practice. Nothing could be further from the truth. We were told for years, my kids have been to so many funerals, it's unbelievable. Oh, you can't do that, they'll be warped. And some may argue that they are. But taking a child to a funeral is not going to warp their mind. It's not going to hurt them. Children need to understand, people live and people die. They need to understand that. I mean, it'd be quite a shock if the first person in the first death you experience of a loved one, you're 30 years old. Nothing wrong with taking children to funerals. They need to understand people live and people die. And this is what we do. This is what we do. Again, it is the way of God. And for all of those who say it does not matter how we disposed of a loved one's body, oh, yes, it does. I believe it does. I believe it does matter. It's not going to matter as far as salvation. Resurrection comes wherever your body is. The rapture comes if you're saved. You're leaving. That's not the issue. The issue is simply, what does the Bible have to say? It just goes through me when people say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It goes through me even more when a preacher stands up and says, it doesn't matter, because it does matter. And it goes through me even more when someone says, ashes to ashes, because the Bible says ashes to ashes. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Don't put verses in the Bible that aren't there. It's not there. So again, we need to have a respect. And everybody here knows that. We show respect unto the deceased's family, and also we show respect unto the deceased by giving a proper burial. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in singing.